been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, I have Escambia County Sheriff, Chief Deputy, and longtime friend of mine. He was in Leadership Pensacola with me, Tommy Leiter. Tommy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, as always, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Of course. Really good to have you. We've had a lot of things happen over the last week since Chip and I talked last week. Let's start with this. You had an incident. We talked briefly about it last week, but the crabs burglary. Burglary is when there's no force involved. Robbery is when you're confronting a person. But the crabs burglary led to five people being arrested in several different states, and Flock cameras were a big part of this arrest, right?
Absolutely, man. It was a great case, and it's, you know, showcases our major crimes division. They do great work, the investigators that pick those cases up and run with it. But yeah, it was Flock. You know, they show up in the middle of the night, and they come in from Houston. They rent cars in Houston, drive all the way over to Escambia County, to Pensacola Beach, and they burglarize crabs in the middle of the night, make their way to the safe, and manage to cut their way into the safe and steal a bunch of money. But you know, this is 2026. You're not going to get on or off Pensacola Beach without being on a camera. I mean, the Flock camera, all the toll by plates, that's what they are. They're license plate readers. They're right. Just going to read your tag, and that's how we're doing that all over the interstates. They're all license plate readers. And you know, you park your car downtown, and that's how they enforce that when they drive by. You'll see the trucks drive by with license plate readers on it, and that's what they're doing. They'll know if you paid it or you're parking or not. So it's bigger than law enforcement. They're everywhere. And this case, we would not have been able to solve this case, certainly not as quickly as we did, quick enough that we were able to. They still had burglary tools with them. They still had cash with them. All of the evidence that they had was, they still had all that stuff in their possession. So I think without those license plate readers, we would not have been able to solve it as quickly as we did. But it's really cool to see. You can pick them up going onto the beach, off of the beach, and then, you know, all the way across state lines into two different states. And we were able to contact those agencies, and they picked up both of them on traffic stops. Well, actually, one was a traffic stop. One, they were able to track all the way back to a hotel room. So that was really good police work.
Was there any, I know the initial question had been, why crabs? Was there anybody on the inside who was helping them? Why would they come from Houston to, you know, some random beachfront restaurant in Pensacola? Do we know anything about any of that?
Still under investigation.
Okay.
That's a question we had that night. You know, and you can see it. Why did they pick crabs? Why did they pick the way that they went in? It didn't look to me like they searched real hard for the location. You know, they went right to the safe. Mm-hmm. So those are certainly something that we're looking into. And it is still under investigation. So we have some evidence that we can go through, and we're going to try to figure that out.
Very good. You also had I think you had another case that was a big Flock license plate reader related case this week, right? I just can't remember right off the top of my head. I can't remember which one it was.
We did. We had two females from Houston. They drove over from Houston, and it was a retail theft. So they were hitting all of the stores, stealing. It looks like most of it was makeup and stuff like that. Not just makeup, but there's a photograph on our Facebook of the bag that they had, which is full of stolen property, and the picture doesn't do it justice. It was huge, and they hit all, you know, a number of different stores, and we were able to, you know, get a description of the vehicle, and were able to, you know, figure it out on Flock, and we stopped them on a traffic stop. And they, again, they were just probably heading back to Houston, I would imagine. And same thing, we were able to pick them up on a Flock, stop them, still had all the stolen property on it, and link them directly to the other thefts.
And that was the one that was like five different stores, right? Is that right? I'm memory here.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How did we become like the interstate crime sister city for Houston? When did this happen?
it's not just us.
Okay.
They have a whole task force over in Houston. And I think, you know, the last I've heard is there's like 1,000 people that they've identified or something. And that's what they're doing out of Houston. We had a number, I want to say it was last year, where they were stealing ATMs and they were out of Houston. But they left here, and I think we got them up in Georgia. So we're just one of the stops on their route to wherever, all the way over to Jacksonville, all the way up through Atlanta. It's all over the southern United States. I'm not sure how far north they go, but we catch them a lot in Escambia County, And maybe that's why it makes the news, is because we're being able to pick them up.
You guys are trying to identify some suspects who robbed. And again, robbed is with force. Burglary is not with force, like when people are not present. The Tradewind Food Mart on Patricia Drive at gunpoint that last weekend?
Correct. They had two actual robberies at gunpoint. They walk in and stick a gun in the clerk's face. We actually made an arrest on one of them. And it's still under investigation. We're waiting to identify the other suspects involved in it. But we do have one in custody and is in jail right now.
Okay. And then we also had, a kilogram of methamphetamines in arrest, Kelvin Crenshaw?
Yeah, that is, one of our search warrants that we hit. That's a lot. And it wasn't just the meth that they got. Let me pull it up here real quick. I'm sorry. I had it on my phone, the exact numbers. But it was meth. It was fentanyl. It was just about anything that you can think of in, as far as narcotics go. It was a big lick for the narcotics unit. SWAT team hit the house because there was an indication that, it's violence surrounding it. So they'll do a risk assessment on all of the search warrants. Some of them will rise to the level of a SWAT team. Some of them don't. This one rose to the level of SWAT team. So our SWAT guys were able to hit it. Here it is. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And money too, right? And were there guns found?
There was meth, cocaine, oxy. There was fentanyl. There was tramadol. There was marijuana. And there was currency in it. I don't think that we got a gun out of this one.
Okay.
But most of the cases that we have, the narcotics cases, are we do recover firearms. And I think we mentioned our narcotics unit was recognized as the narcotics unit of the year for Region 1, which is 17 different counties. And when I look at the numbers, it's not just, again, it's 13,000 grams of fentanyl, 26,000 grams of meth and cocaine and crack and marijuana and heroin and mushrooms. There's 69 search warrants, but of those, there's 80 firearms and 25 machine gun conversion devices. And that's Sheriff
That's
Simmons,
like the Glock switches. That's to convert a semi-automatic to an automatic. Okay.
Yeah. But we talk about all the time that most of our violence is tied directly to the drug trade. If you're not involved, actively involved in buying or selling narcotics, you're unlikely to be a victim of a violent crime.
Wow. No,
Sheriff Simmons recognized that early on, and he tripled the size of our narcotics unit. It was like the largest narcotics unit we've had at the agency that we could see on record. And it was because we wanted to make a dent into the violent crime. And if we're going to do that, we're going to hit the narcotics, street-level narcotics, and the long-term investigations. And it's working. It takes time. A lot of these investigations, and these, when I read a lot of the numbers and the different narcotics, those are the cases that we were able to get search warrants on. There's so many more that we're working on. We're directly tied and we're dialed in with the DEA task force. So a lot of stuff we can't talk about. Some of these long-term investigations could take years. And they're doing just phenomenal work. And it's most of that, I'd say 90% of it, we can't talk about.
Yeah.
It's just the stuff, the successes. And even a lot of times we'll hit a search warrant, we'll get stuff, but we can't even put that out because it may be a continuing investigation. So
this one leads to that one.
Know
or whatever.
That they are. Yeah.
Well, that's great work, being Narcotics Unit of the Year for the region. I'll look forward to it on episode on season 26 of The Wire, Escambia County.
Show, by the way.
Yeah, it is a great show. If only we could do it. You guys also had, it's kind of made a lot of news, the R-Spot arrest. What happened here? You guys tried to go in, and he prevented you from seeing if there was violations of liquor laws and underage drinking?
Well, correct. We've been there. That wasn't the first time.
Okay.
We've been there before. I don't want to say he was cited for it. He certainly warned about it. We went there. The music for noise complaints and music was just outrageous, obnoxiously loud. And when the deputies went up there, he actually locked the door and wouldn't let them in. So there's a little bit of a standoff. We were able to get in. He resisted, and he ended up in handcuffs and going to jail. So it's been an ongoing problem with that particular club. So we've had conversations with the actual owner of the building who leases it to this gentleman to see if if they can make changes, and it looks like we're trending in that direction.
And it's a bottle club, right? So do they have to have a special license to operate that way?
Oh yeah. 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 Okay. He's in violation of all kinds of stuff. You can't sell alcohol. You can't let people bring alcohol. You can't, everything that he's trying to do, you can't do legally. And he was warned about it. It completely ignored it, was cited before. And here we are, he ended up in handcuffs going to jail. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. You know, especially once we warned him before and we showed up, this was not the first time, but he found out.
Well, he thought like if he just says, you know, I dare you, and then you'd be like, oh, okay, well, we'll back down.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, turn my computer on for just a second, PJ. I do want to get an opportunity for Sheriff Simmons to weigh in on this.
Don't fight us, bro.
Don't fight us.
Exactly. He messed around and found out.
And so that's exactly right. I think you had a convenience store arrest related, but as a juvenile, that just happened, what, maybe overnight?
Yeah, so that was the robberies we talked about, the convenience stores.
Okay, the series of them, okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's in jail. Yep, we made an arrest on a juvenile. A little reluctant to talk a lot about it. It's not quite out yet, but we did make an arrest. One of them, 14-year-old kid, pulling an armed robbery. Yeah, it's a shame.
A 14-year-old is involved in an armed robbery?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And he's in custody, so... And we're still looking for the other, colleagues, partners in crime, his other, you know, miscreants, whatever you want to call them. But we're still actively investigating that case.
Wow. 14, an eighth grader. That's just all right.
Yeah.
One thing I just think there was one other thing, which is you had an arrest, the fourth arrest now for that homicide charge from the April 12th shooting at Oakwood Terrace. A good reminder that you never stop pursuing homicides, right? I mean, even years later, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have, I think we're going to start focusing or highlighting some of our cold cases that are back, you know, 20, 30 years old. They never go away. We have investigators, and that's all they do. They're full-time job is just cold case homicides. Keep in mind, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, even into the 90s when I first started policing, a lot of the technology we have, the DNA technology, none of that existed. So when we go back through the case, there might be a piece of evidence that at the time we collected, but there was nothing we could do with it. Now we can submit them. We went through all of the cases already. When Sheriff Simmons first got elected, that was one of his first orders to the cold case unit, was to go through all of the cases, identify evidence or any piece of whatever that's in there, and resubmit it if we need to. And we did all of that stuff, and some of that stuff's paying dividends now. But even today with the ancestry DNA, where I don't have to match it necessarily to the suspect, I can submit it and match it to a fourth cousin twice removed, and you start working that path and then lead back to there. None of that was available. So that's a lot of the cold case, re-interviewing suspects, re-interviewing witnesses, a fresh set of eyes on it. And we're phenomenal work. And it takes a special skill set to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's oftentimes you'll work a case for a decade or more, what it's already been worked for decades with no resolution to it.
Yeah, no satisfaction, right? No payoff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And you know, to your evidence point, I mean, I was just over at the medical examiner's office, her new building, and, you know, seeing what they do to preserve evidence. But also, you know, some evidence, you know, there's information there, but you don't have the tools to gather what you need for conclusions out of it. And I got to imagine that with the advance of technology, there's going to be some evidence that you don't even know there is information there, because the kinds of things we might be able to look at, you know, people in the 1800s didn't know to collect fingerprints, right? Because they didn't know that would even matter. So I think that's technology is changing in all those ways to help you guys with law enforcement. Tommy Leiter, he's the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy, longtime friend of mine, former Chief of Police in Pensacola. Tommy, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for pinch hitting for Sheriff Simmons to say. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.